Scripture reading is from 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 14 and through 16. As obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it's written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Did you know that today is Resurrection Sunday again? And it's a Resurrection Sunday for Eastern Orthodox Christians, and they've been celebrating this all day. Hopefully some of them are still sober at this moment, but it's not a fact, I can tell you. And it is good to pray for Eastern Orthodox people who are nominally probably believers, including some of my relatives around here in the U.S. and also back in our country, because for many of them, being, you know, Orthodox means just not to be anything else, not to be any, like, Protestant or anything or something, just follow your culture, follow your tradition, follow your ancestors, and that's where you belong, that's what you have to follow. And there are some good things and bad things. You know, I'm going to be sharing tonight about my early Christian life. And there was a time when I was thinking probably there's something good in, you know, Russian Orthodoxy, because when I was a young believer, I started to read the writings of these very knowledgeable, very wise men, a very spiritually gifted Russian Orthodox priest. His name was Alexander Mann. He was brutally killed by the KGB in the late 80s, before the Soviet Union collapsed. But he was produced some spark among the Christians, among the Russian Orthodox, and including me. I was thinking about this, you know, what he was saying, comparing to some Protestant thoughts and stuff that we are doing. There was a lot of similarities. But then when I was started thinking about, well, you know, if I become Russian Orthodox again, I have to pray in front of these icons. And that was always creeping me out, those saints, you know, with the halo and all this, like, angry-looking folks from the icons. My grandmother used to own some, you know, some set of icons in the corner. They call it the red corner. That's like first corner when you walk into the house. The first what you're supposed to see is this set of icons where you have to offer prayers first and then go by your business. So that's what made me, you know, thinking, nah, probably I'm not gonna worship Virgin Mary or cross myself, you know, in front of these saints from the icons. That was what confirmed me as a new believer that this Protestant faith, Presbyterian Church, is where I belong. And I'm gonna be talking about this later. At this moment, let us pray and let us begin our this part of this service. Our Lord, we thank you for this wonderful time that we can spend together here, see each other and hear each other singing. And most of all, thank you for this opportunity for us to come before you, and offer our prayers, offer our songs, and offer our time, because you own us. Our time belongs to you. Ourself, we are completely belong to you, not part of our life, but all of us is yours. And as we die, as we make offerings, it's just part of what we owned, but it's just indication that we belong to you, and you are the everything in our life, and we belong to you completely. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace towards us. We never deserve this, and we never will be worthy of your glory, of your mercy, of your grace. But nevertheless, you are with us. You are holy God that called upon us, and you call us to be holy. We thank you, Lord, for this time. We ask that you would bless this time, and you be present with us, with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us open one more passage from the scripture, which is Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 1 and 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. There are so many calls around us in this modern world, so many slogans and used by, you know, commercial companies or by politicians to draw our attention. Just do it, somebody says. And apparently we get up and do it. Or think different. I don't know how to think different. I'm think straight all the time. And manage your dreams, or somebody's favorite one. Make America great again. We're so accustomed to these slogans and these calls that sometimes we don't even notice them. And once we get burnt of something, we don't even believe in advertisement anymore, on any slogans or anything. So what do you think about this call today that we have read? This message from God. You shall be holy, for I am the Lord your God, am holy. Will we notice this call, or we pass it by? Will it resonate in his church this evening? So let us see what do we have here. The call for holiness comes from the holy God. Isn't this obvious? And when the Lord spake unto Moses, he was the one who spoke that. There was a time when a believer in Jesus experiences similar to something called middle age crisis. I don't know what that is, not yet. In my 45th year, I don't know what that is, and I wish never know this. So when the believer goes from infancy to maturity, he understands that the real faith is something more than just knowledge of religious rituals, more than even coming to church every Sunday. Understanding comes on one hand, but on the other hand, you begin to understand that you don't understand anything, and it seems that something is slipping away from you every time, something valuable, something important, and you know it. Have you experienced anything like that in your spiritual life? There was a time in my life when I was in Christian college in Kyrgyzstan. In my second year in the college, I began to think that I already learned a lot and I know a lot. I became quite a good Christian myself. I broke with everything worldly, lived in the church, literally lived in the church, because the church building was used for Christian college and then later for the seminary, actually. So a lot was going on in the church from big part of my life. So I cut all my friends, my unbelieving friends off my life. I read only spiritual literature. I served in every possible ministry in the church, participated in all the worship service, never missed a service for 10 years, never missed a service. I prayed in all prayer meetings, preached in every street campaigns, and then shared the gospel every time I could. So if someone went to heaven for their good deeds, it could be, I could be one of them. My favorite book in the Bible was book of Leviticus, and my favorite chapters in these books in the book were chapters 18, 19, and 20. The only thing that bothered me all the time was the opening phrase in this chapter 19, "You shall be holy." I thought that's an impossible call. That's an impossible call. Sometimes it seemed to me that it was some kind of joke or something. Lord, the Lord requires me some kind of heretical idea of being holy. What does it mean? And I will always remember those saints, that's holy persons from the icons that I used to see at my grandmother's house. I definitely didn't want to be one of them. We were taught at the Bible studies that those saints who looked at us down from the icons, they were not holy. They were just sinners, as much sinners as every one of us. So what is the meaning of this call from God? You shall be holy. So, well, the meaning is within itself, I can tell you. In my country, there were two runaway presidents that were removed from their offices after the two bloody revolutions. And man, those presidents, they were liars all along. Their words were diverged from their real deeds very far away. There was no such thing as runaway president in this country, at least not yet. But we have a lot of similarities, a lot of liars among our politicians, especially during the race for the office. You know that. Somebody told me once, there's a very, you know, absolute indication that the politician is lying right now. Do you want to know how they lie? They open their mouth. Yes, you're right. Very often it also happened to spiritual leaders, unfortunately, who are calling for that what they are not themselves. They themselves are not. It never happens to God. Thanks God. His word and his deeds are always in accord because he is holy. There are two meanings of this. First, his holiness is transcendental. It means that he is separated from everything else and he is not like anything else. And second, his holiness is his absolute moral purity. We all have been trying to become a different person beginning Monday. Who tried something with me? Who's here with me? We tried to quit smoking on Monday, or to start dieting beginning Monday, or to work out on Monday, but we often fallen short. Have you yet tried to become holy starting Monday? You can do it tomorrow, but of course you don't have to. He says, "You shall be holy," and this means that he's doing this right now. And it's not to mock you or anything. It's a promise. He is making us holy right now at this moment. But it would not have ever happened to us if God had not added, "For I am holy, Lord your God." The call for holiness is not only an Old Testament thing. As you know, it's a New Testament as well. And Jesus speaks about this in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:48. He says, "Therefore be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." When he finished his sermon, the Bible tells us of the reaction from the people, Matthew 7:28-29. And it happened when Jesus had ended this saying, that the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. People were astonished that he was different. First Peter, as we already read, as obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lust in your ignorance, but according to the Holy One who has called you, you also become holy in all conduct, because it is written, "Be holy, for I am holy." We must remember that the call for holiness, it's not a process in which we will be fighting in powerlessness, but the Holy God Himself will be here with us, making us holy. A second point is that the call for holiness is addressed to all the believers. Look, Moses was told to address the entire assembly, entire congregation, to all the congregation of the children of Israel. Moses addressed the whole community of the sons of Israel, to the entire assembly of chosen people of God, all of them, regardless of the tribe, to the tribe of Levi, as well as the tribe of Judah, to the tribe of Reuben, as well as the tribe of Simeon. Just like that, the call for holiness is there for all believers, regardless of age, state, status, time of church attendance, or religious experience. So, who is to be called holy or saint? This is Greek word agio, all the believers. Not only those in New Orleans. In the New Testament, all God's people are called saints. For many years, I was battling with this, and it seems strange that such a name was given to people struggling with all kinds of sins. When I read Paul's letter, I was shocked that first he greets them as a saints, and then he lists all bunch of sins that he's want them to deal with. So why does the Bible call us saints or holy people? And why does it call us to holiness? Holiness is what the human race was originally intended for. We were created in the image of God. To be created in the image of God means that we are to reflect God's character in us. We were created to show His holiness, holiness of God, to the whole world. But as we all know, human beings have turned to darkness, disobeying God, disobeying its holy creator. So we lost God's image in us, and instead of reflecting His holy character, we started fighting the Holy One. Instead of being a holy nation, we became a sinful nation. I have committed many sins in my life. None of these sins have ever made me happy. Although my sins didn't bring me happiness, they brought me pleasure. I like pleasure. I like having fun. Not all the pleasures are sins, by the way, but sin can never bring you happiness. If I understand all this, then why does sin seduce me again and again? It seems foolish for a person who knows the difference between happiness and pleasure to continue choosing pleasure over happiness. It seems totally stupid to do something that you know will deprive you of happiness, and yet you're doing this again and again. The mystery of sin is that it's not only evil and destructive, it's also frankly stupid. The problem with this call to be holy gets even worse when, as a believer, you realize that the problem is that we are called to holiness while we are not being holy at all. And the question arises again, if we are not holy, then why does the Bible call us saints? The Bible calls us saints for two reasons. First, because we were sanctified by God and for God. We are separated from this world. This is a matter of fact. Just like holy vessels in the temple of Jerusalem could be used only for the worship purposes and not for anything else. And second, we are to be different in our life. The Christian life is the life of non-conformists. But very often, the only thing that we can maintain is superficial nonconformism. A simple approach to this issue forces us to do simply the exact opposite of what is accepted in the culture. If short hair is in fashion, what does the nonconformist do? Long hair. If everybody else go to the cinema, then the Christian nonconformist will avoid visiting the cinema as the worldly, most worldly things, and we can go on and on and on, you name it. Superficial nonconformism is a classic Pharisee trap, actually. The kingdom of God is not about hair, movies, or dancing, or not dancing. He calls us to nonconformism in a deeper level, the level of righteousness, which lies beyond the scope of purely external manifestation. If our righteousness is determined only by the degree of external piety, we are missing the whole essence of the apostolic teaching. Matthew 15:10-20, Jesus says, and he called the crowd and said to them, hear and understand, not that which goes into the mouth defiles a man, but that which comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Then his disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then Peter answered and said to him, explain this parable to us. And Jesus said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters in at the mouth goes into the belly and it casts into the waste bowl? But the things which comes out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. They are the things which defile a man, but not to eat with unwashed hands, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Very often we're narrowing down the kingdom of God to one simple area where food or drink or clothes are important. That was righteousness of Pharisees and Sadducees, my brothers and sisters. And Jesus responded to it in Matthew 5:20. For I say to you that unless your righteousness shall exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Where is your righteousness come from? If it's from you, I have a bad news for you. Isaiah 64:6 says, but we are all an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are filthy rocks, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. The only source of our righteousness must be the Holy One. The only way to be accepted by God is in the Messiah. He sent His Son, Jesus, to share His righteousness with us. He died for us. The only one has died for sinful ones. He wants us to repent. He wants us to surrender ourselves to His love and mercy and grace. And now He declares everyone who repents, everyone who believes, as a holy saint. He called us, His holy people, new people, new creation, His saints, the citizens of His kingdom. He's given us His Holy Spirit to empower us to walk His ways and to make us even more holy every moment of our life until the final day comes. Once again, I ask you, my dear brothers and sisters, what do you think about this call today? Will we notice this or pass by? Will it resonate in his church this evening? The message of God, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Amen. Let us pray together. Lord, we thank you for your holiness. We thank you for your holiness, Lord. We thank you that you are calling us to be a holy people. You know, we are not worthy, and our righteousness is filthy rags. And we ask that you would wash us, give us new clothes, let us be clothed in your righteousness so we can be holy. We can be whole again. We can be holy as your community of your saved, washed, and new generation, new people, that we could make your name known among our family members, our work colleagues at work, places where we study. Lord, we ask that your kingdom would grow. You know, Lord, that we are aware of many people of yours here around us that have not been reached out yet. And we ask, Lord, that you would use us as your holy vessels to work in their lives also, so that they would come to understanding of your love and mercy and realization of your holiness. We ask, Lord, that you would bless the rest of this service this night, and we ask that you would give us your Holy Spirit and your wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.